ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 12th chapter, verses 25 to 57. Religion was manifested from the breast of Brahma, wherein is seated the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, and irreligion appeared from his back, where horrible death takes place for the living entity. So everyone who comes into this world desires to be God. So therefore, Lord Brahma has to first create illusions so that we can believe the untruth that we are God. So first, he had to make us forget our real identity. So he created five different coverings. First, andatamisham, the sense of death; tamisham, anger after frustration; mahamohan, the sense of proprietorship, false proprietorship over things; and mohan, illusory bodily conception; and tamas, the darkness in self-knowledge. So why does the All-Merciful Lord help us to forget our real happy position? Because all living entities have independence. He gives us our independence. First, when we want to go away from him, he tries to keep us with him, but we persist in going away. So therefore, he lets us go. So Brahma was very unsatisfied with such a thankless task of creating ignorance. So therefore he started fresh and he created four principles of knowledge. What are those four principles of knowledge? Yes? Sankhya, Vairagya, Yoga, and Tapa. Yes, tapasya is a very popular word in this section. So much tapa. The Lord is pleased by tapa. So these four principles of knowledge were embodied in the four kumaras. Unfortunately, however, or fortunately, they didn't listen to Brahma's order to become grihastas. So Brahma fell under the influence of his own creation, anger, and as a result, Lord Shiva was born. As we heard from Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava, that from lust, anger arises. So Lord Shiva is born mixed blue and red, and he lives in nine different places. That is, let's see, first the heart, then it's expanded to the senses and the air of life, also the sky, the blazing fire, and the air, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity. So that's a different kind of austerity that Lord Shiva is found in, not the kind that Lord Brahma did. Unfortunately, Brahma's children started destroying the whole universe, which didn't help Brahma's work of creation at all. So therefore, Brahma advised Rudra and his followers, tapa atishta bhadram te, the right kind of tapa, not the other kind of tapa. Do the right kind, like Lord Brahma. Tapa atishta bhadram te sarvabhuta sukavaham. This will create auspiciousness, and you can recreate the universe as it was before. So then, after that, Brahma created 10 sons, the Prajapatis, the sages, who were going to fill the universe with good children. So now we will continue to hear what developments occurred in Brahma's creation. What happened next was that religion comes from the heart of Brahma, where the Lord is seated, and irreligion comes from his back. So actually, we will hear in a few verses later how Brahma's form is actually very similar. It's a representation of the Supreme Lord's form. And if we remember from last year, in the second canto, 6th chapter, verse 10, there is a similar description of the universal form of the Lord about the back. It says, the back of the Lord is a place for all kinds of frustration and ignorance, as well as for immorality. So Prabhupada explains that those who are fortunate enough to have a view of the Lord from the front can realize his personal feature, whereas those who are on the back, they realize the impersonal feature of the Lord. This is a purport for 2, 6, 10. So they're kept to the back of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, those who have the view of the Lord from the back, they can realize impersonal feature of the Lord. So different kinds of vaidism, nirvishesha, shunyavadi, they come from the back of the Lord, the back of Lord Brahma, irreligion. Something else we find at the back of the Lord. Who else is in the back of the Lord? Who? Maya. Yes, Maya. That we hear in verse 174. Yes, bhakti yogena manasi samyak panihite male apashya purusham purnam mayam chatarapashaya. Maya was in back of the Lord. So let's see what else comes from the heart besides religion. Verse 26. Lust and desire become manifested from the heart of Brahma. Anger from between his eyebrows. Greed from between his lips. The power of speaking from his mouth. The ocean from his penis, the low and abominable activities from his anus, the source of all sins. So, anger comes from the heart, and it is expressed from between the eyebrows. So, what shall we do about this? How to control this anger? Srila Prabhupada gives two different processes in the purport. What is one of those processes? One is for the devotees, and one is for somebody else. Two ways, yes. Yes. Okay, the yogis and impersonalists, they concentrate, they put the mind between the two eyebrows. And what do the devotees do? Prashanta? They put Krishna on the seat of the heart. So actually we heard already that the devotees, they have a lotus in their hearts. And on this lotus, Lord Krishna is seated. And they worship the Lord and the lotus of their hearts. So there is a lotus just for Krishna. And when we become purified, then we'll worship Krishna there on that lotus. So then Prabhupada talks about desires. What to do about desires? Should we banish all desires? Yes, Charvadeshna. You vote for banish? No. What to do? Control? Yes? Control. She says control by the mind. What do you say? Make our desires one with the Lord's desires. So Prabhupada says in the purport, a devotee of the Lord always has the Lord in his mind, and thus he does not need to be desireless, because all his desires are relationship with the service of the Lord. So this is what to do, to be desireless. Keep Krishna there. Verse 27. Sage Kardama, husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. Thus all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. So sometimes we wonder why bad children are born to good people. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, there's always a mixture of the modes there. Even Priyavrata, who was a pure devotee, who was a sannyasi, but then later on he got married, he had a very materialistic son, his first son, Agnitra. He wanted to go to Pichiloka. He was overcome with lust for Urvashi. And so Prabhupada asked the question, well, why was such a son born of Priyavrata? And Prabhupada answered that at the time of conception, he was feeling very lusty, and so therefore that's the kind of son he got. And so this Garbhananda Sanskara is very important. And we'll hear a lot about that in chapter 14 with Burijan Prabhu. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada explains, therefore, all the sons generated from the body or mind of Brahma were in the modes of passion and ignorance. Can you believe it? Of course, he's in passion, so I guess that's why. Passion and ignorance. But some of them, like Kardama, were born in the mode of goodness. Narada was born in the transcendental state of Brahma. So even if you're somebody in the mode of passion, there are times when you may be in the mode of goodness, or times when you may be transcendental even. So this was exhibited even by Lord Brahma, the first living creature in this universe. Verse 28. O Vidura, we have heard that Brahma had a daughter named Vak, who was born from his body and who attracted his mind toward sex, although she was not sexually inclined towards him. So how could Brahma fall down If the Lord promised him protection after hearing the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Prabhupada asks this question in the purport, and he answers the question in the purport also. How is that? How could he fall down? Srimati? It was another kalpa. It was before he heard the Chatushloki, it was some kalpa before the Lord promised. So that's how it happened. Prabhupada said, how could it have happened? It could not have happened in the kalpa in which Brahma heard directly from the Lord the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Lord blessed Brahma after giving him lessons on Bhagavatam, he would never be bewildered. This is the end of the... What's that? After this happened, this was in a kalpa before he heard the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. That's what Prabhupada is saying in the purport here. That he didn't hear the Chatushloki right at the beginning, but there was another kalpa where he fell down before he heard it. And then he prayed for protection before he heard the Chatushloki, and then the Lord blessed him. Yes. He's not hearing Chatushloki? As far as I understand, he heard it in the beginning, in the beginning of his birth, near the beginning of his life. He heard Chatushloki. As far as I understand, not every kalpa. Obviously, he didn't hear it in that kalpa, where he fell down. So he fell down. Okay, verse 29. Thus, finding their father so deluded in an act of immorality, the sages, headed by Marichi, all sons of Brahma, spoke as follows with great respect. So, we hear sometimes devotees quote this particular pastime, and they say the sons of Brahma, they criticized Brahma, so therefore they were cursed. But actually, it's not a fact. It was the sons of Marichi who left. And I have the reference here, 10.85.47. It's described by the Lord himself that during the age of the first Manu, the sage Marichi had six sons by his wife Erna. They were all exalted demigods. But once they left at Lord Brahma, when they saw him preparing to have sex with his own daughter. So it wasn't the sons of Brahma who got cursed, it was the sons of Marichi who got cursed. Sometimes people quote this in class, that the sons of Brahma, they shouldn't have criticized. But actually, they were very respectful. But the sons of Marichi, they left at Lord Brahma. So therefore, they got cursed. So in 10.85, 48-49, the Lord says, because of that improper act, they immediately entered a demoniac form of life. And whose sons did they become? Hiranyakashipu's son. Then the goddess Yogamaya took them away from Hiranyakashipu and were born again from Devaki's womb. But welcome, Maharaj, outside today. You feeling sick? So Acharyas Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti explain that after taking Marichi's sons from Hiranyakashipu, Lord Krishna's Yogamaya first made them pass through one more life as children of another great demon, Kalanemi, and then she finally transferred them to the womb of Devaki. So this story is told in 10.1.69. Kalanemi had six sons named Hansa, Suvikrama, Krata, Damana, Ripur, Madana, and Krodhahanta. They were known as the Sadgarbhas, or six Garbhas, and they were all equally powerful and expert in military affairs. These Sadgarbhas gave up the association of Hiranyakashipu, their grandfather, and underwent great austerities to satisfy Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma agreed to give them whatever they wanted. So they asked, dear Lord Brahma, if you want to give us a benediction, give us the blessing we will not be killed by any demigod, Maharog, Yaksha, Gandharvapati, Siddha, Charana, or human being, nor by great sages who are perfect in penance and austerity. So it sounds familiar. It was the same thing that Hiranyakashipu asked. But Hiranyakashipu was very angry. Why did you go and worship Brahma? You should have come to me. I would help you. So he cursed them, that you will take birth in the womb of Devaki, and you will be killed by your own father. So first, they were born as the sons of Kalanimi, and then they took birth in the womb of Devaki. They were killed by their own father, who appeared as Kamsa. So this is 10.1.69. And then if you want to read more, you can read 10.2.8, and it describes how these six sad-garbhasuras were Kama, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya, sons of Marichi. And first they had to be killed. And it's described that Devaki is Bhakti, and before Bhakti can appear, these six have to be killed. And so you can read that in 10.2.8. It's a beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, who explains this whole lila. So we won't read that now. We'll go on with this here. Verse 30. O Father, this performance in which you are endeavoring to complicate yourself was never attempted by any other Brahma, nor by anyone else, nor by you in previous kalpas, nor will anyone dare to attempt it in the future. You are the supreme being in the universe, so how is it you want to have sex with your daughter and cannot control your desire? Verse 31. Even though you are the most powerful being, this act does not suit you because your character is followed for spiritual improvement by people in general. So the principle is one should not set a bad example. What does Krishna say in Gita? Chastas. Yes, he says, if I did not set an example, then others would follow me. So this is the argument that they are giving. It's true, tejiyasam nadoshaya, that the most powerful, if they do something wrong, it's not an offense. But still, you have to set the example. So this is their argument. Verse 32. So then they started praying for him. Tasmai namo bhagavate. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who by his own effulgence, while situated in himself, has manifested this cosmos. May he also protect religion for all goodness. So this is a nice prayer you can say in case you get yourself in this situation. You can pray like this for somebody. End of the purport. Prabhupada says, the Lord gives protection to devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental loving service. And by his causeless mercy, he forgives the accidental fall of a devotee. Therefore, sages like Marichi prayed for the mercy of the Lord, and their prayer was fruitful. And so Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, not Prabhupada, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, apichet saracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak, that even if someone who is completely engaged in devotional service, if he falls down, he should still be considered saintly. So this is what happened with Brahma. He fell down, but then he rectified himself. The Lord rectified him. So we should not consider any less, we should not think any less of Brahma. Verse 33. The father of all Prajapatis, Brahma, thus seeing all his Prajapati sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed, and at once gave up the body he had accepted. Later, that body appeared in all directions as a dangerous fog in darkness. 34. Once upon a time, when Brahma was thinking of how to create the worlds as in the past millennium, the four Vedas, which contain all varieties of knowledge, became manifested from his four mouths. So Prabhupada in the purport continues speaking about the last pastime. He says, Brahma is powerful by dint of his devotional service unto the Lord, and the Lord is always ready to forgive his devotees if by chance he falls down from the noble path of devotional service. So Prabhupada is giving different angles of vision. One should not criticize great persons. On the other hand, what should the great person do? We shouldn't criticize, but still, what's the other side of that argument? Yeah, well, the great persons should also act to set an example. We should not criticize, but they should act to set the example on their behalf. Then again, Prabhupada gives another angle of vision that the Lord, He protects the devotees, but still the devotees should always pray for protection. So these things, all these different angles are here in this pastime. So let's see if there's anything in the purport of 34. After the quote, any person who is engaged 100% in the transcendental loving service of the Lord at His lotus feet is very dear to the personality of Godhead Hari, and the Lord, being situated in the heart of the devotee, excuses all kinds of sins committed by chance. It was never expected that a great personality like Brahma would ever think of sex indulgence with his daughter. The example shown by Brahma only suggests that the power of material nature is so strong that it can act upon everyone, even Brahma, even us. Brahma was saved by the mercy of the Lord with a little punishment, but by the grace of the Lord he did not lose his prestige as the great Brahma. So we should not think that we will get only little punishment if we fall down. What are some examples of the Lord forgiving his devotees when they fall down? Any examples in the literature, or in real life, or... Yes, Patri. Ajamil, yes. He was forgiven. Prabhupada said that, okay, this Krishna, Prabhupada gave the mind of Krishna. Krishna was thinking about Ajamila. And he said, okay, let this rascal give his son the name Narayan. Then he'll remember me. Prabhupada said, Madhavendrapuri? Jagaya Matai, yes. They were forgiven. And then their attitude was so repentant. Yes. Vilvamangala Thakur. Yes, he was a devotee in his last life. And then he fell down. And then he was again brought back to Krishna consciousness. Vrinda. I don't know that story, yeah. Who? Uh-huh. Yes. Okay, so she's telling the story of one of my godbrothers, Hanuman Pariksha. Don't get these two confused now. His name was Hanuman, right? From South America. It's a different one. Not Hanuman Pariksha. He's very firm sannyas. Hanuman, he was a sannyasi. His name was Hanuman. And then later he fell down and he became grihastha. And as a grihastha, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked Srila Prabhupada, well, should I commit suicide like Chota Haridas? I fell down. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very powerful. He could spread this movement all by himself, but I'm not so powerful. I need all of you to help me. He said, so you stay as grihastha and help me. And so this was Prabhupada's mercy. Ashwatthama? Was he, he's not really an example. But actually it's true that he did fall down and he murdered the sons of Draupadi. And in some millennium, no, in some Manu, he's going, in a future Manu, he will become one of the great sages. Huh? He'll become Vyasadeva. Okay, he'll become Vyasadeva. Yes. Migardi the hunter. Yes. Well, he wasn't a devotee before. Yeah? Brihaspati, yeah? What's that story? Ninth canto.
He falls down with his brother's wife.
Uh-huh. Okay. Krishna. Okay, so Brihaspati fell down with his brother's wife, but still his name is there in Bhagavad Gita as one of the vibhutis. Brihaspati. Yes. In the heavenly planets, there are problems. Don't think... And somebody fell down with his wife too, if I remember correctly. Anyway, these things are going on. Okay. And also I remember another one of my godbrothers, Hayagriva, he's no longer with us. But he used to have a hard time with drugs sometimes. He would go away from Krishna consciousness and come back. So many times he did that. He would go, he would come back. But finally, the third time, Prabhupada said, only three times. And after that, I don't forgive anymore. There's only three times you get. But anyway, this there is a limit. So verse 35. The four kinds of paraphernalia for conducting the fire sacrifice became manifest. The performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, and the action performed in terms of the supplementary Vedas. Also the four principles of religiosity, truth, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, and the duties in the four social orders all became manifest. So now we're hearing about those things and those people which are going to help Brahma in the maintenance of the creation, especially the four orders of life and the four varnas and four ashramas. They are very instrumental to help in maintenance. We'll find out in a few verses about that. Verse 36. Vidura said, O great sage, whose only wealth is penance. Interesting. Whose only wealth is penance. Like to be somebody like that, whose only wealth is penance. Of course, Lord Prabhupada says, if your only wealth is a lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you have attained perfection. So this is actually the ultimate. Okay, O great sage, kindly explain to me how and with whose help Brahma established the Vedic knowledge which emanated from his mouth. Maitreya said, beginning from the front face of Brahma, gradually the four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva, became manifest. Thereafter, Vedic hymns which had not been pronounced before, priestly rituals, the subject matters of the recitation, and transcendental activities were all established, one after another. He also created medical science, military art, musical art, and architectural science, all from the Vedas. They all emanated, one after another, beginning from the front face. Yes. And also Prabhupada said, this art of flying in the airplane, that also was one of the Vedic arts, or flying by pigeon. You could fly by pigeon anywhere you wanted to go. Or by magic car, you could make your seat fly also. This is one kind of science in the Vedas. Verse 39. Then he created the fifth Veda, the Puranas and the histories, from all his mouths, since he could see all the past, present, and future. So what is the meaning of history? What is the definition of history? You can look it up on your computer if you want and tell me. Yes. Itihas. Okay, collection of past events. Yes, Bhaktamian. Okay, iti means? Thus. Ha means?
Really.
What?
Really.
Really? Real. Really. Actually. Really. Okay, ha, iti is thus, ha means really, and?
Asa means happened.
Okay, iti ha sa, asa. Iti ha sa, what has actually happened. Okay, so, but this is very interesting. Usually we do write histories after they happen, but Brahma wrote the histories before they happened. So quite a different type of historian is Brahma. The definition is actually happened, but he's writing it before they happened. I think history must repeat itself every kalpa. So therefore, like Valmiki. Yes, so he's writing the histories before they happen. Very interesting. So Prabhupada explained in one lecture on verse 115 that first we have the Veda, the Atharva Veda, and that's divided into four, Sama, Yajur, Atharva, and Rig. And then that is, then you have the Upanishads, and then all of that is concentrated into Vedanta Sutra. And then Vedanta Sutra is explained in the Puranas and Itihasas. So for Kali Yuga, the Puranas and Itihasas are actually the scriptures that we follow. We're not allowed to study the Vedas, actually, because we're not born Brahmins. So Prabhupada also gave another comment that the history, what's the difference, before I tell you,
What's the significant difference between Vedic history and modern history? Yes. Okay, one's descending, the other is ascending. What's another significant difference? Yes. It's only recorded if it's related to God. Okay? Yes. It's infallible. Yes. And the point that Prabhupada makes is the point that Sankirtan Prabhu made, that the history of the Vedic history goes for millions and billions of years. So how are you going to record every little thing? You just have to take out the important things that happened, and that is the incarnations, the great kings, great Vaishnava kings. This is the Vedic history. So Prabhupada said, suppose for millions of years you write history, where are you going to keep the records? He said, so therefore we cannot write history like modern history. And that history will be finished one day, I'm sure. How long are they going to go on with this history? So verse 40-41, all the different varieties of fire sacrifice, Saurashi, Ukta, Purishi, Agnishtoma, Aptoryama, Atiratra, Vajape, and Gosava became manifested from the eastern mouth of Brahma. Verse 41. I'll say the Sanskrit, it's important. Vidyadanam tapasatyam dharmasyeti padanicha ashamamscha yatha sankyam asijat sahavittibi. Education, charity, penance, and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of castes according to vocation. Brahma created all these in systematic order. So the four pillars of religion are supposed to be learned and upheld by the four orders of life, the brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So in the purport, about seven lines down, Srila Prabhupada says, student life is meant for acquiring the best education. Household family life is meant for gratifying the senses, provided it is performed with a charitable disposition of mind. Retirement from household life is meant for penance, for advancement in spiritual life. And renounced life is meant for preaching the absolute truth to the people in general. So here we have on the chart here, Vidya, Dhanam, Tapa, Satyam. So Vidya, education for the student life, for the brahmacharis. Dhanam, charity is for the grihastha. Tapa, austerity for vanaprastha. And Satyam, truthfulness for the sannyasi, because he must preach the truth. Then we compare it with the first canto. We heard about Socham, Daya, Tapa, Satyam. Actually, it was a different Tapa, Socham, Daya, Satyam. So Socham, we have cleanliness. So that is also for brahmachari life, purification. Also hearing, we hear in Bhagavad Gita, the brahmachari must also always be engaged in hearing and chanting, purification. And Daya, which is very similar to Dhanam, for the grihastas, mercy. Mercy of the grihastas is that they give in charity 50% of their accumulated wealth. And tapa, the same thing, austerity, and satyam, truthfulness. So these four pillars of religion are meant to be upheld and practiced by the four orders of life. So if you find yourself in one of these orders, then you know what you're supposed to be doing. What's that? Yeah, you had a handout last year. Those of you who were in the class last year, there was a handout comparing the two verses. So Prabhupada says in the purport, the combined actions of all members of society make the whole situation favorable for the upliftment of the mission of human life. The beginning of the social institution is based on education meant for purifying the animal propensities of the human being. The highest purificatory process is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, purest of the pure. So last year, we were studying the first canto, and Prabhupada said that the grihasthas should give in charity up to 50% of their income for the purpose of creating a spiritual atmosphere in society. And Srila Prabhupada gave a 5-point program. Does anybody remember one of those 5 points? It's very easy to remember, actually, if you think about the principles that those five points embodied. Yes, one. That's a negative. We want a positive. There's a positive five-point program. There, yes, Adipurusha. Yeah, that's also true. The question is, spending 50% of your income for what? Maharaj. Yeah, Maharaj is hitting on it now. Preaching Sankirtan. Yes, Marangopal. Spiritual education in schools, yes. This is very nice. Cows, cow protection. Actually, Prabhupada's points were a little different, but anyway, these are all good points. We should have all these points. Yes, let's go on. Sankirtan. Food for life. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He remembers that the girl should get married at 16 and the boy should get married at 25. They can have co-education, but they should be married, he said. Yes. Maharaj. One third of the what? One third the age of the guy. Okay, well. So.
The times have really changed.
Yeah, times have changed. Do we have this little. I guess we don't. Okay, you can look for it, Adipurush. There it is. Yeah, so 5-point program. Now think. Nectar of devotion. Think nectar of devotion. 5 principles. 5 most important principles. 5 most. Yes, the most potent principles of devotional service. This is what Prabhupada wanted the grihasthas to give their charity to.
The holy name,
Bhagavatam, living, creating a spiritual atmosphere, temples. Karma Yoga was one, deity worship. And let me read. I'll read it, what he says. And serving, yes, Vaishnava Seva. Here's what Prabhupada says. Karma Yoga are doing everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So B, regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam from authorized persons or realized souls. C, chanting the glories of the Lord congregationally at home or at places of worship. D, rendering all kinds of service to Bhagavatas engaged in preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. And E, residing in a place where the atmosphere is saturated with God consciousness. If the state is regulated by the above process, naturally there will be God consciousness everywhere. That is 1:17:38. Yes, 1:17:38. This was Prabhupada's, what he wanted the grihasthas to give in charity for these 5 most potent processes of devotional service. So, I have a little quote here from Burijan's lecture that one time somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of grihastha? And Srila Prabhupada answered that before you eat, you should go out and call 3 times. If anyone is hungry, please come and eat. So at Prabhupada's mealtime, there were always guests in the house. Prabhupada used to say, so many sadhus. And sometimes this was, when Prabhupada was here, some devotees, sannyasis, would give a lecture on this point, and then the grihasthas would follow it. And it was in Los Angeles that the sannyasi would give the lecture, the grihastha would call out, and there was a sannyasi hiding behind the thing ready to come for lunch. Yeah? Los Angeles.
Fourth canto?
Okay. Okay, you should do. Okay, no question of accepting multiple invitations, Maharaj says. Maharaj is giving nice instructions for sannyasis. Don't accept multiple invitations. In 4th canto, don't harass the grihasthas if you're a sannyasi or a brahmachari. Yes. 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 Okay. So now the grihastha is always wanting to offer. There should be a competition between the grihastha and the vairagi, But the grihastha is wanting to push them to take things. And this happens in India when they serve you sometimes. You go to somebody's house and they're serving you, then there's a real competition for them to make you eat and for you to try and stop them from piling everything on your plate. You can see this. But usually they win. They're very persistent. Yes. Okay, so he's asking what happens if the person wants to give to Krishna. So now you're supposed to say, no, no, don't. Yes?
One can engage that person to serve Krishna in a particular way. Yeah.
Okay, here's Maharaj's instructions for future vairagis or present vairagis, that if somebody wants to give to Krishna and you think you're not capable of engaging that person or that money, you tell him where to go to engage that person or that money. And Maharaj is a living example. He takes his people around from the Gulf to all over, to all the people, to Food for Life and everybody, and shows them where they can donate to. He's a living example of that instruction. And so, yes, these are some nice instructions. Verse 42. So now we've got sacrifice and we've got Vedas, we've got sacrifices and we've got the four orders of life. Now 42 and 43 are a little bit more specific of the four orders of life. 42. Then the thread ceremony for the twice born was inaugurated, as were the rules to be followed for at least 1 year after acceptance of the Vedas, rules for observing complete abstinence from sex life, vocations in terms, and so that those were brahmacharya, those first three. And now grihastha, vocations in terms of Vedic injunctions, various professional duties in household life, and the method of maintaining a livelihood without anyone's cooperation by picking up rejected grains. So these are for grihasthas. Even some grihasthas are very renounced, that they don't even work. Or these stories are there in Mahabharata. There's one, I can't remember his name right now, who used to just go and collect grains from the fields, and then he would entertain guests with the grains that he collected. And one time, it was Durvasa Muni came to his house, and Durvasa ate everything. And again, he went and collected, he ate everything, and he kept eating, and there was nothing left for his family. So Durvasa repeatedly did this, and the guy with his family were on the verge of starvation. And then finally Durvasa was pleased and he said, no, you are very pious. Everybody's body is most dear to him, but you have sacrificed your body for me. So then he blessed, you will go to heaven immediately. And then he looked up and there was a chariot from heaven coming down. But then he said, but wait a minute, I want to know about heaven before I go. And the chariot driver said, you are very foolish. Nobody thinks twice about going to heaven. Why are you asking these questions? He says, no, I want to know the advantages and disadvantages of heaven. So then the guy talked to him. He said, yes, okay, you can go. You can enjoy with so many nice apsaras. There are beautiful gardens. And there is no perspiration. There's no dirt there. The food is clean. I think my son was a demigod his last life because he can't stand anyone else's cooking. It's always dirty. Now he's cooking for himself. But anyway, everything is cooked with ghee. And he says, okay, so what are the disadvantages? He said, well, yes, there are disadvantages. So just before you're going to fall down, there's great fear comes in your mind and your garden starts to fade and your mind becomes full of anxiety and then you start falling when your pious activities are finished. So I remember his name. His name's Mudgala. So Mudgala said, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't like the disadvantages there. You tell me about some place where if I go there, I don't have to come back again. So then the demigod, the charioteer, realized, oh, this person is very intelligent. So he said, yes, there is such a place. And that is Vaikuntha. You can go to Vaikuntha. So then Mudgala did devotional service and went back to Godhead. So this was, anyway, but these are the results of performing grihastha life perfectly, then you go to heaven. And for the other, for the renunciates, they can go to the higher planets. If they're perfect brahmachari, sannyasi, and vanaprastha, then they can go to Maharloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and all these places. So let's hear about the Vanaprastas and Sannyasis, verse 43. The four divisions of retired life are Vaikanasas, Valakilyas, Audambaras, and Phenipas. The four divisions of renounced order of life are Kutichakas, Bhavodas, Hamsas, and Nishkriyas. All these were manifested from Brahma. You can read more about it in 7th Canto if you're interested. Verse 44. The science of logical argument, the Vedic goals of life, also law and order, moral codes, celebrated hymns, Bhur, Bhuvar, and Swar, all became manifested from the mouths of Brahma, and the Pranava Amkara was manifested from his heart. Imagine if you had that body. All these things are coming from your body. Thereafter, the art of literary expression, Ushnik, was generated from the hairs in the body of the Almighty Prajapati. The principal Vedic hymn, Gayatri, was generated from the skin. Trishtuk, from the flesh. Anushtuk, from the veins. And Jagati, from the bones of the Lord of living entities. Bhakti Damayan, is that what you're studying in Banaras? You're studying all these things? No. Okay. Something else. Verse 46. The art of writing verse, Pankti, became manifested from the bone marrow. And that of Brihati, another type of verse, was generated from the life breath of the Lord of the living entities. 47. Brahma's soul was manifested as the touch alphabets, his body as the vowels, his senses as the sibilant alphabets, his strength as the intermediate alphabets, and his sensual activities as the seven notes of music. So Prabhupada in the purport makes a point. All these sound vibrations are originally called Shabda Brahma, or spiritual sound. It is said, therefore, that Brahma was created in the Mahakalpa as the incarnation of spiritual sound. So Brahma is a very elevated person, incarnation of spiritual sound, Shabda Brahma. And now all these things are coming from his body. Verse 48. Brahma is the personal representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the source of transcendental sound, and is therefore above the conception of manifested and unmanifested. Brahma is the complete form of the Absolute Truth and is invested with multifarious energies. So in the purport, in the middle, Srila Prabhupada says, in the material world, Brahma is the complete representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and transcendental sound, pranava, comes from him. He is therefore invested with multifarious energies from which all the demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are manifested. So he's very similar to Krishna, his creation. Just like Krishna, Vishnu created the demigods. So from Brahma, all the demigods are also going to come. It's very similar to the universal form, and he has the same, he's like a representation of the universal form of the Lord in this world. So we see, if you read the descriptions of universal form, it's very similar. All these things are coming from the different parts of universal form. So verse 49, thereafter, Brahma accepted another body in which sex life was not forbidden, and thus he engaged himself in the matter of further creation. Verse 50. O son of the Kurus, when Brahma saw that in spite of the presence of sages of great potency, there was no sufficient increase in population, he seriously began to consider how the population could be increased. Brahma thought to himself, alas, it is wonderful that in spite of my being scattered all over, there is still insufficient population throughout the universe. There is no other cause for this misfortune, but destiny. Daivam. So what is destiny? What is this destiny that's the cause? What is Brahma saying here? There is no other cause for this misfortune, but destiny. Yes? Will of the Lord. Yes, the will of the Lord. Or? Karmana daivanitrena. Yes. That verse you had to learn. That everything is... Everyone's birth is determined by karmana and daiva netrena, by the your work and by the supervision of Daiva, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and so with Brahma's creation, the same thing. So again, he's stumped. But, yes, Maharaj. 49. You want to go back to 49? Yes. We should do it. Why don't we wait till after the verses, and then we'll get into it. And then we'll go back to verse 49 at the end. Okay, so Brahma says, I'm scattered all over, but there's still not enough population. So verse 52. While he was thus absorbed in contemplation and was observing the supernatural power, two other forms were generated from his body. They are still celebrated as the body of Brahma. So Prabhupada says, they are, until today, they are known as Kayam, the body of Brahma, with no indication of their relationship as his son or daughter. So they're Brahma's body. They are Brahma, actually. Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa are the body of Brahma. Verse 53. The two newly separated bodies united together in a sexual relationship. Verse 54. Out of them, the one who had the male form became known as the Manu name, Swayambhuva. And the woman became known as Shatarupa, the queen of the great soul, Manu. 55. Thereafter, by sex indulgence, they gradually increased generations of population, one after another. 56. O son of Bharata, in due course of time, he, Manu, begot in Shatarupa 5 children, 2 sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapad, and 3 daughters, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti. 57. The father, Manu, handed over his first daughter, Akuti, to the sage Ruchi, the middle daughter, Devahuti, to the sage Kardama, and the youngest, Prasuti, to Daksha. From them, all the world filled with population. So finally, success in his mission. He's going to fill the world with population. After so much trouble, the sons of Shiva were destroying everything, and now finally he's got good children. He had good children, but they weren't having children. So then he got these Manu, and this was the solution to his problem. But he'll still have more problems, as we find out in the next chapter. So in the purport from the middle, Prabhupada says that Brahma is the grandfather, and the personality of Godhead, being the father of Brahma, is the great-grandfather of all living beings, confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Vayor yamoganir varuna shashanka pajapatistam papita mahascha. Namo namaste stu sahasukitva punascha buyopi namo namaste. You are the Lord of air, the supreme justice, Yama, fire, Lord of rains, the moon, the great-grandfather. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So we're going to hear, for canto 3 and 4, we'll hear all about these children of Swayambhuva Manu. In this canto, we'll hear about Devahuti, and in canto 4 about Akuti, Prasuti, and Uttanapad. And then in canto 5, we'll hear about Priyavrata. So here we have a message that we should learn. I won't tell you the message, you tell me. What should we learn from this chapter of creation, of Brahma? What can we learn from this chapter? Yes. Mode of passion is very troublesome. So many problems when you're in the mode of passion and when you're creating. When you're trying to make something, so many... Maharaj. Not everything goes as expected. Especially in countries other than the West. Especially in India.
Even in the West.
Even in the West? What is this world coming to? Because here we expect nothing to go as planned. But there, we would expect. Okay, so nothing goes as planned. Prajanta. There's always duality of good and bad. Yes, we saw it from the beginning of creation. Duality of good and bad. Anything else you learn? Yes. You have to be persistent and tolerant in our service and depend on the Lord. Yes, Patri, what did you learn? You said we can fall down? Even on the royal road, there can be accident. We can fall down. The spiritual life is like a razor's edge. So, yes, Sankirtan Das. Yes, clash of interest with Brahma's sons and himself. The first four sons, they didn't want to. Brahma wanted population, they didn't want. And then, again, there was clash with the next ones. They wanted to destroy the world. So that he wanted creation. Then he got his sons. He wanted creation, they wanted destruction. Yes. The lesson we learn is that your creations are not going to cooperate with you. Yes. That's true. Sex desire is even in Lord Brahma. That's something she learned. Yes, Vanamali, welcome back. Okay, it's an example for others that we should be careful. We should be careful. Yes. He wanted creation, they wanted destruction. Yes. The lesson we learn is that your creations are not going to cooperate with you. Yes. That's true. Sex desire is even in Lord Brahma. That's something she learned. Yes, Vanamali, welcome back. Okay, it's an example for others that we should be careful. We should be careful. Yes. So she learned that we should always constantly pray, as Prabhupada said, for protection from pride and deviation. These kinds of fall downs. Okay, you want to talk about verse 49, Maharaj? He wants to talk about verse 49. What is your... Okay, Maharaj is asking a question that it seems that originally Brahma's body was transcendental. And then when he changed his body, he got another body. And the second body doesn't seem to be so transcendental because sex life was not forbidden. So does that mean that his creations after that change of body were not as transcendental like his creation of Swayambhuva? Not as significant like his creation of Swayambhuva Manu and his wife. Yes. Yes. So, yes. So even with his transcendental body, he got sons that were in the modes. Actually, Prabhupada said, most of the sons were in passion and ignorance, the first 10 sons, even though he had a transcendental body. Yes. Yes, it wasn't, I don't know if it was explained here, but somewhere it's described that he just changed his mentality. He dropped a subtle body. He just, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he dropped his subtle body. He gave up the mentality. So therefore, just if you give up the mentality also, it doesn't mean that he can still be transcendental, just like an iron in the fire, as Prabhupada gives the example. An iron rod, if you put in the fire, it becomes red hot. So even though the body may not be a spiritual body, if it is used in the service of Krishna, it can become. Verse number 34. Okay. So here's the answer. Purport to verse 34 is fire can consume anything and everything without being contaminated. So, by the grace of the Lord, the fire of Brahma's greatness consumed his desire for the sinful act of sex with his daughter. Okay, so he still kept his position as Brahma. All right. Any other comments or questions? Yes. Well, okay, so he's saying that the punishment seems to be the lowering of prestige.
Slightly.
Momentarily. Does anybody have another angle of vision on this? The punishment of Brahma. Everybody gets to hear about it.
In Bhagavad Gita. It's perpetually enshrined in the Brahma.
Yes, now it's in the okay, the punishment is that people will hear about this. Even Kapila mentions it. I was thinking something else was the punishment.
What is it?
He had to give up his body.
He had to give up that mentality. Yeah,
change his body. He had to change.
He had to acknowledge his mistake.
Yeah. He had to become humble and acknowledge his mistake, Maharaj says. Okay, now you had a question? No, you had a question.
It's four Vedas.
Yes?
Four Vedas.
So what's the question?
It says here front face, that means one face.
No, it says beginning from the front face.
Starting with.
Starting with and going around. Rig Vedas. Prabhupada, I've heard different things actually. Atharva, I've heard. It's there also in Tattvasandarbha. Tattvasandarbha explains that, and it quotes from different sources. You could look that up in Tattvasandarbha. Yeah. Prabhupada says Atharva, but Yajur. You read Yajur. On Isha, it says Yajur is the oldest. Okay. And in Tattvasandarbha, I don't remember. And what? Isho comes from Yajurveda. The thing is that before, all of the four Vedas were part of one other Veda, whichever it was. So whichever one it was, they were all there, but they were just part, and then it was divided into four. So it's the same Veda. It's not that one is older than the other, it's just that the name was one of the name. They were all the four Vedas were originally one Veda, and then it's not that one is older than the other. It's just that the name, they were divided at a certain point in time. Vedvyas also. Yeah. So originally they're one, and then they came from four. Anyway. Yes. Yes, Vyasadeva made the division. But it's not that it wasn't there before he... It was there before he made it. The division was already there. Just like the creation was already there and then Brahma created. So the division was there even before Vyasadeva divided it. It became that way from Lord Brahma. But then again it became one and then again he divided it. So it's like sometimes it's one and sometimes it's many. And just like Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, originally... There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, originally they are one, then they separate as two, but then again they became together as Lord Chaitanya. Yes. In Kali Yuga, the people are less intelligent, so therefore he had to make it into bites so they could eat it, small bites. One big bite too much. Is that Shuka? Yes. Yeah. Head of the Sampradaya. Yes. How can they relate? I don't know. Because they don't accept the 13th chapter of the 10th canto where Rama gets bewildered by Krishna. They don't accept that. So what about this? We don't hear about that, actually. Yes. Okay. All right. Any other questions, Maharaj, or comments? Yes, they refused. They don't accept those verses. They don't accept these either. Anyway, they don't accept that there is any fault in the head of our sampradaya, Madhvas. Well, you can go to South India and you can go tell them. Yes. Wait a minute. Maharaj? Different readings of Bhagavatam. Yeah, heavenly planets, there's a billion on the planet of Lord Brahma. 1 billion. Of the Vedas.
Oh,
for the Bhagavatam, acha. Right, right. Yeah, they don't discuss the shortcomings of their superior in public. He's saying it's maybe part of the culture. And what do you say? Yeah, the shortcomings of the superior, the faults. Yes. Okay, they're worshipping him after he heard Chatushloki. Bhagavatam. Okay, Satyavati. No, not every kalpa. Obviously. Because he fell down one kalpa, how could he have explained that? Okay, any other questions? Or Bhakti Damian? To whom? Okay, yeah, that's true. I was also having the same question. He's the father of everyone, so how is he going to get married? Everyone's going to be his child. Maharaj. Paramaprana.
Gayatri
is his wife. Savitri. Savitri, Gayatri, and Saraswati are the wives of Brahma. Okay. Separate mountains at Pushkar for the different wives?
Yeah.
Okay. One for Savitri, one for Gayatri. Okay. Yeah, I had that same thought in mind too, that how is he going to get married? But I guess that there's no... He has no choice. He has to marry one of his children. Yeah. Also, I was reading a story in, I think it's in this Ganga book from one of the Puranas, that Saraswati and Lakshmi and Ganga, who were wives of Narayan, they all had a fight and they cursed each other to come down. It's Brahma Vaivarta. They cursed each other to come down, and Saraswati was cursed to come and be the wife of Brahma. Brahma Vaivarta. Okay. So there's. I mean, it's not what we see in here, but actually also she was cursed to come down and become his wife. And these things happen with these people. We don't know. Nothing. We can take nothing at face value. There's always something behind it. I remember this story. It's in that Ganga book. Maharaj says he's not sure about... Okay, Gopi Pranadana says that Brahma Vaivarta Purana, you're not sure you're getting the pure thing. It may be changed. Arbhavisha. So if you want to find the story, you can look it up in that book, a big book on Ganga, Ganga Devi. Any other questions or comments? Today's verses. No. So we can stop early today. Okay, so we'll... wait, you do have a question? Okay, small question, 1 minute. What's the question?
Hung says.
Hung says.
Usually they are the last.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not in order. Just because it's like this doesn't mean it's the order they are. Of course, it's logical, but... But this is much more general. If you find a place where it's more specific, then that's probably more correct. And here's a very general description. So if you find another place, if it's contradicted, where it's told in specific detail, then that's the place where you should accept as being correct, the order. Yeah, I remember Hangsa is also the last, the highest. Okay, any other questions? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.